Good morning. My name is Naomi, which means pleasant, although I used to be called Mara, which means bitter, because I was bitter. A long time ago, there was a famine, and because of that, my husband, Elimelech, and I left our house in Bethlehem with our sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and moved to Moab, where we lived. And then Elimelech died. My sons married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, and then my sons died too. It was awful. And I know many of you know well what that means, because you've lost people too that you've loved. There was nothing left for me in Moab, so I decided to go back home. And at first, Orpah and Ruth tried to go with me, but I told them, go back home and live with your mothers, and may God show you kindness as you've shown kindness to me and your husbands. I kissed them, and I said, may God give each of you a new home and a new husband. They cried and said, no, we're going to go with you. But I was firm. I knew I wasn't going to have any more sons for them to marry, and how would we all manage? Go back, my dear daughters, I said. It is more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow. They cried, of course, and Orpah kissed me goodbye. But Ruth, she wouldn't let me go. I told her, I said, go back with Orpah, go back to your own people. But she refused. She said, where you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried, so help me God. Not even death will come between us. So what could I say? So Ruth and I went back to Bethlehem. And when we got there, the town was buzzing. Is this really Naomi? I told them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because God has dealt me a bitter blow. I left here full of life, and God has brought me back empty. We'd arrived at the beginning of the barley harvest, and I have a relative, actually my husband's relative, whose name is Boaz. And Ruth asked me about going to work in the fields to see if she could find someone to let her gather grain behind the harvesters. And she wouldn't get paid, but at least she could gather enough scraps so we could eat. I said, go ahead, my daughter. So she went. And as it turned out, the field Ruth went to belonged to Boaz. And he was kind to her. After harvesting, he even let her eat with the other workers, and then he sent her home with plenty of grain for the two of us. And when I heard that, I said, the Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and to the dead. That man is my relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Then one day, I told Ruth, my daughter, it's time I find a home for you with someone who will take care of you. Boaz is hosting a party tonight. You must take a bath, put on perfume, and get dressed up. Go to the party, but don't let Boaz know you're there until the party is over. Then go to him, lie down at his feet, and see what he says. He'll tell you what to do. Ruth went and did as I suggested, and fortunately, Boaz responded in just the way that we hoped. He told her, the Lord bless you. This is a great kindness. You could have gone for a younger man. Don't be afraid. I will do the right thing. And he told her to go home, and he gave her a huge bundle of barley for me. And when I saw that, I knew he would take care of things. Things were different then, and this might seem a bit weird, but Beau has had one more thing to do. There was a closer relative, closer than Boaz, and he asked the man to greet him in the public square. And Boaz told him about Elimelech's property and offered him the first chance to purchase it. The man was interested until Boaz added, "You do realize that when you buy the field, you also buy from Naomi, so you get Ruth the Moabite, the widow of our relative. You then have the responsibility to have children with her and carry on the family inheritance." Well, when the man heard that, he said, "I can't do that. You go ahead and redeem her yourself." Then Boaz told everyone, "You are witnesses. I bought from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech and Chilion and Mahlon, including responsibility for Ruth. I will take her, the widow of Mahlon, as my wife." They all said, "Yes, we are witnesses. And may the Lord make this woman like Rachel and Leah, who built the family of Israel. May God make you a pillar in Ephrathah and famous in Bethlehem. Through the children God gives you and Ruth, may your family be like the family of Perez, the son of Tamar, born to Judah." Well, I didn't know that at the time, but of course, that became a huge family. I mean, huge. Anyway, so Boaz married Ruth, and by God's gracious gift, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And all the women said to me, "Praise be to the Lord. He didn't leave you without a guardian redeemer. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He will renew your life. He will take care of you in your old age. And this daughter-in-law, who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's worth more to you than 7 sons." And then I took the baby and I held him in my arms. And I cuddled him, and I cared for him. And the neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy. His name is Obed, my dear Obed.
Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I suspect some of you may resonate with the story that we just heard. As for Naomi, trouble and suffering seem to hit some families harder than others. While I was in high school, it was the Sweetman family here at Neyland who experienced one blow after another. Marge Sweetman had lost her husband and was raising 5 children on her own. Then tragedy struck again. Back then, my alarm was a clock radio, and Christmas songs were playing as I awoke early on Christmas Day. Then a news flash interrupted. Nancy Sweetman was murdered the night before as she walked home from a candlelight service. Nancy? He announced that the police officer who found her, who was first on the scene, was her brother, Ron. He arrived on Neyland Avenue to where Nancy was lying. It was traumatic for all of us at Neyland, and especially for Marge. And then less than a year later, Marge's older daughter, Rosales, was helping a stranger on an icy overpass in Grand Rapids when a truck lost control and struck her, and Sal lost both her legs. So much loss in the Sweetman family. Many of you have experienced deep losses, too. Family members have died too soon. An accident or illness has robbed you of your strength. Or almost more devastating than death, your spouse has left. Or you've lost a job that was not only a source of income, but also where you found purpose. There are more of these stories than I know. And especially in this season of Advent, we feel those losses deeply, and we long for restoration. Yet suffering is part of the human condition. During our fall series about how God remains with us in our brokenness, someone told me about the book Praying Our Goodbyes. In it, Joyce Rupp writes, "Accidents do happen. Death comes to us all. Disease is prevalent in our world. But God is not doing these things to us. We are full and finite human beings, living on an earth where natural disasters occur, where genetic conditions exist, where we sometimes make poor or sinful choices, where life does not always work out as we had planned and hoped it would." She says, "We are blessed and burdened with our humanity, with the mystery of growing into a wholeness of personhood, which involves continual goodbyes. We are frail and unfinished, subject always to the possibility of pain. We live in a world where we know we cannot escape our own mortality, our final goodbye before the eternal hello. This is our story. And this is Naomi's story. Naomi has lost so much. She left Bethlehem with a full heart, a full life, a husband, and two sons. And though the famine had caused them to leave their home in Bethlehem, they had fresh prospects in Moab. They tried to build a new life among strangers. Then came one tragedy after another. We don't know the details, illness, accident, but we can imagine the sorrow. First, her husband died. Then her sons married women from Moab. One son died. Then the other. Husband gone. Sons gone. All security and support gone. Naomi is a widow. Her daughters-in-law are widows, and they are all vulnerable. Naomi had heard that God has provided food again in Bethlehem, Bethlehem, which means house of bread, so she decides to go back. But she goes back empty, bitter. Still, did you notice how even though she places the responsibility for her misfortune in God's hands, she does not turn away from God. God remains with her in all of this. When she prepares to say goodbye to her daughters-in-law, Naomi says, "May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." This prayer for God's kindness uses the word chesed. Chesed is a Hebrew word rich with meaning and difficult to interpret. So we use words like kindness, goodness, faithfulness, commitment, steadfast love, mercy, devotion, loyalty, loving kindness. Chesed appears throughout Scripture, especially in the Psalms, and the theme of chesed drives much of the action in the book of Ruth. Despite her bitterness, Naomi has appreciated the kindness of her daughters-in-law, and she prays for the Lord's chesed for Orpah and Ruth. As God pours out loving kindness upon them, more chesed is shown through what Ruth does next. Ruth makes a commitment to go with Naomi, devotes herself to Naomi's God, and promises Ruth to stay with Naomi until death. And then when they get to Bethlehem, Ruth goes to work to help them survive. God's law requires people to care for widows and orphans and instructs harvesters to leave some grain behind for them. So Ruth goes to a field to glean after those who are taking in the harvest. And coincidentally, no, providentially, it's the field of a relative of her dead husband. And that relative, Boaz, is a man of valor who looks out for Ruth. Boaz speaks kindly to Ruth, encourages her to stay in his fields where she'll be safe, and praises her helpful commitment to Naomi. He prays for God's blessing and reward for this kindness. And Boaz also shows compassion to Ruth and Naomi by providing extra food and grain to take home. Well, when Naomi hears this about Boaz, she prays a blessing on him. The God she'd seen as the source of her sorrow is now pouring out kindness, chesed, to the living and to the dead through the kindness of Boaz. And the bitterness in Naomi's soul begins to thaw. And Naomi is moved to action herself. She realizes that she should find a new home for Ruth where Ruth will be taken care of. So she pushes Ruth to take a surprisingly bold step. Boaz is a relative. As Naomi explained, in that time when a man's husband died, his brother was supposed to take her in, and with no living brother, another relative could take on the role of guardian redeemer. So Naomi suggests an honorable way for Ruth to propose to Boaz that he take her under his wing. And Ruth carefully follows her advice. When Boaz wakes from sleep on the threshing floor to find Ruth at his feet, he says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. The kindness is greater than what you showed earlier." This chesed, this goodness of heart for Ruth to come to him instead of younger men, moves Boaz to respond with kindness and compassion and a commitment to do the right thing. That very day, he made all the arrangements necessary to take care of Ruth, the widow of Mahlon, the woman from Moab. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer in every sense of the word, restoring Ruth and Naomi to their family home and a place in their community. And the whole community reacts to the good news that Boaz will marry Ruth with joy and welcome and love for Naomi. They pray that Ruth will be like Rachel and Leah, the mothers of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that Naomi will become a pillar in the community of Bethlehem. And when they marry, God, it says, God enables Ruth and Boaz to have a child. And again, the community rejoices and praises God. This new family will bring new life to Naomi. Though she has lost two sons, they say her daughter-in-law Ruth is better than seven sons. God is doing a new thing here. Despite the suffering that is part of our human story, God can still do a new thing. Joyce Rupp also wrote, "Suffering can be beneficial when it leads to some kind of resurrection in us. We can discover vast storehouses of resiliency, vitality, fidelity, love, and endurance." Ruth was loving, resilient, and resourceful. And Naomi found that she could take action too. We also, while waiting for God's renewal, can do something. We can pray and read the Bible. We can change our attitude. We can draw on our own resources and gifts, reach out to a friend or family member who can offer us strength or could even benefit from a loving word from us as we find our way to flourishing again, discovering where God might be at work to fill the empty spaces. The Marge Sweetman I remember became a woman of peacefulness and contentment despite her sorrows, And in her later years, she even remarried and found new joy with Merle Viss. All of us, as we walk through our days, can look for signs of God's chesed, God's mercy and faithfulness to every precious child. In a blog post last week, Deborah Reinstra wrote, "Here in this Advent wasteland, all I can do is keep trying. Keep looking for signs of God's continued inbreaking that flare all around me, for those pillars of fire and smoke. I can look to the resilience of life itself, to the patience of trees dormant for winter but preparing their spring buds. I can receive the daily bread, just enough, and try to trust that more will come tomorrow." More will come. When bread returned to Bethlehem, Naomi went back home, and God's redemption plan continued through Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. And the book of Ruth concludes this way. Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And this then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, the father of Ram, the father of Abinadab, Abinadab the father of Nashon, Nashon of the father of Salmon, the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. God is doing great things here. Ruth, a woman from Moab, an enemy of Israel, is the grandmother of David, who becomes the greatest king in Israel. And the Savior of Israel and of all the world comes from the line of David. Jesus, our Lord. Ruth the Moabite is in the family tree of Jesus. She's named in Matthew's genealogy. God's loving kindness extended to Ruth the foreigner. And God's loving provision is demonstrated through this foreigner to Naomi. And through her reaches out to each one of us. And God remains as full of love as God has always been. Like Enrique told us at the beginning of the service, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God shows chesed through the Son. God shows love through the kindness of people around us. God shows faithfulness when the Spirit encourages us, giving us the energy to put one foot in front of the other as we face each new day. Some days may still be hard, yet God will keep pouring out chesed, loving kindness. The Jesus Storybook Bible that so many of our children have reminds us of this when it says, "In spite of everything, God will love his children with a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, surely God's goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In our profession of faith today, we used words from the contemporary testimony, and some of those words now become our prayer. O God, in this season celebrating the advent of our Lord, help us to live confidently, anticipating his coming, offering him our daily lives, our acts of kindness, our loyalty, and our love, knowing that he will weave even our sins and sorrows into his sovereign purpose. Come, Lord Jesus, come.